Our theme this evening is multiplication and murmuring in the church. Multiplication and murmuring in the church. And our theme this evening is taken from verse 1 of Acts chapter 6. The Lord Jesus Christ was on the throne in the days of the apostles. And he's still, of course, on the throne today. He is the master builder of his church. His agent in this world is the Holy Spirit, which does God's gracious work through those who have been born of the Spirit of God. And here in the opening verses of this chapter, we have a beautiful description of the master builder at work. Or in other words, of the growth of the church. And from these opening verses here in chapter 6, we can learn some very important lessons which might help us in the days to come in our vacancy. And we want to see six short things this evening. And the first thing we want to see in verse 1 is God's plan for his work is multiplication. God's plan for his work is multiplication. Verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied. It is God's plan and purpose that his church should be constantly increasing. It should be constantly increasing. And these words indicate here from verse 1 to us that there should be growth, there should be progress, and there should be expansion of his church. Of course, in the early days of the church that we're here reading about in Acts, there were great ingatherings of precious souls from Pentecost onwards. Multitudes, we're told, were coming to faith. But what accounted for such wonderful growth in the church? Well, we could say that the divine explanation is that the Holy Spirit was at work in and through God's people. On the other side, the human explanation is that those through whom the Holy Spirit was working were witnessing Christians. They were witnessing Christians. Do you remember what the Lord said to our very first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. They were to multiply. And you know, he says the same things to us when we become Christians. Matthew 8:28-19, you remember these words. Jesus says, Go ye therefore. We are to be witnesses just the same as these early Christians were witnesses. But what does witnessing do? What does it do? Well, it helps bring others to a saving relationship with the Saviour. And this is what's happening here in Acts. And it's what should be happening with us as well. The apostles witnessed, the Holy Spirit opened the hearts of the people, then they in turn witnessed to their families, to their friends, and so the church grew and multiplied. So the preachers preach, the apostles and others. And it may be that God will use the preacher, as we have seen on other occasions. He may use the preacher directly to speak to the hearts of people, and the Holy Spirit opens up their heart. Or, as the preacher teaches you and me, then we are more able to witness to others. Of course, it is always the work of the Holy Spirit that opens the heart of sinners, and then the church grows. Nothing has changed from the days of the apostles to now. The apostles preached. The Holy Spirit opened up the hearts of people to receive the word. They were saved. Then they in turn witnessed to others. And that is why the church grew. It was because, not only because the apostles were doing their bit, it was because all those who had become Christians were witnessing to others. That is why there was phenomenal growth in the church in these days. We are told that multitudes were coming to faith. But the second thing we want to see is multiplication brings special dangers. Multiplication brings special dangers. We've learned that the church was growing, but then there arose a murmuring. The Greek-speaking Jews complained that the Jerusalem Jews were being favoured, and as a result of which, their widows were being neglected. They weren't receiving money or food to keep them going. Remember, in these days, there was no widow's pension. If a lady and husband were married today and the man died, and the lady was not out to work, she would receive a widow's pension, and she would be looked after by her state. That was not the case in these days. Nothing like that was set up. And so it was the duty of the Christians to put their hands in their pockets and to help out to feed others. And we know that from last studies, many people sold their houses, sold their lands, and so there was plenty of money to go around. So the widows were being neglected. This was the murmuring fault. But the fault, however, was not in the neglect, because as we're going to see, this was very quickly rectified. The fault was in the murmuring. Murmuring is always a dangerous thing in the church. It happened in the wilderness. As we sang in Psalm 72, we saw what God did for the people. How he opened the Red Sea. How he fed them in the wilderness. How he gave them water. How he looked after them. And yet they still murmured. They still murmured. And whenever God is working in any church, there is always special dangers. The devil sees to that. The devil's plan is to spoil. That's his plan, to disrupt and upset the church as much as he can. That's his job. That's what he will do. And whenever murmuring begins, he is really enjoying himself. But there are human reasons why a growing church has to face special dangers. And one reason is that in a growing church, there are new converts. In Acts, we're told that multitudes were coming to faith. They were babes in Christ. No experience in the Christian life. Multitudes. It takes time to grow in Christ. to have experience. And this brought its own special dangers. They were converts. They were babes in Christ. They were immature. And as we know, it's the most natural thing in the world for a baby to cry, to get upset, and to want attention. And that's the kind of thing that we have here. They're babes in Christ, and they're murmuring, and they want attention. But these babes, they don't really realize that they are murmuring. They don't realize that they are crying because of their infancy in the faith. But murmuring in itself is not the only danger in a growing church. Sometimes it can be jealousy. Sometimes it can be pride which is puffed up. Sometimes it can be a worldliness. And sometimes it can be prayerlessness. These are dangers that will affect a growing church. But there's one thing for certain. Murmuring and multiplying cannot remain together. One or the other of these must go. They don't go together. Murmuring and multiplying. Murmuring and grace. They don't go together. The third thing we want to see is God's leaders must fearlessly guard his work for his glory. God's leaders must fearlessly guard his work for his glory. We've learned from verse 2 that directly the complaint was made about the widows being neglected, the apostles held a church meeting. We might call this the Synod of the Church today. And they were determined to nip the problem in the bud so that growth would continue. Now remember, the two don't go together. Murmuring and multiplying don't go together. But there's something here that we need to notice. This problem that arose was not a case where someone was going to be disciplined. You don't hear that and you don't read that here in the scriptures. Because it wasn't the case for that. No one had really messed up. No, there was no need for any discipline. What was needed was adjustment and change. In this way, things were done. It was a good thing that they did. They were very wise, the apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit in their decisions. And the decisions that they took here in Acts chapter 6 have stood the test of time. From then, right until this present day. And they will continue until the day this earth is no more. These apostles, they didn't allow these murmurs to stampede them into making a rash decision. In other words, they didn't try to, there and then, to sort out the problem. What did they do? They called the whole church together. That in itself would have took a little bit of time. So they didn't do it rashly. They did it in the godly way in which they were supposed to do it. The fourth thing we want to see is staying at the job. Staying at the job. Verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Staying in the job. The apostles recognized that they had been called to a specific work, namely that of praying and preaching, verse 4. Praying and preaching was their task, given to them by the Saviour. They realised that the job that they had been given was their main work. They didn't want to start going and doing other jobs in the church. In other words, they had enough to do. They had simply enough to do. Their time was better spent in preaching the gospel. How were multitudes coming to faith if they didn't hear the word of God? That was their main work to do. You know, sometimes in the church it is good to say no. And here's a perfect example. These Greek-speaking Jews came to them looking them to help them. And they said, no, hold on, stop. We'll have a think about this. We'll get the church together and we'll come back to you. This is more or less what they did. And it's not that the apostles were lazy. Indeed, far from it. But if we have far too many irons in the fire, it can mean that many things are only half done. And of course, there should be no half done jobs for the Lord. What we do for the Lord should always be given our full attention. So they've gathered the church together. Their synod. And then we're told in verse 4 what they do. They pick the right men for the job, which is our next thing which we want to see. The right men for the job. The apostles knew that the job before them wasn't for them. So they needed others to sort out this matter of the Greek widows being neglected. But it must be the right help. And in verses 3 and 5 we are told about the kind of men the church were to appoint for the special task under consideration. And first there was to be 7 of them. 7 of them. Verse 3. There was to be a good number. It wasn't to be left to just 1 or 2 people. There were to be 7 of them. Now 7 is the number of perfection in the scriptures. But I think we can disregard that in this situation. It's just a number, I think, here. If it was perfection they were looking, well then they were looking at the wrong people. Because God and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one who is perfect. So they weren't looking for perfect men. They were looking for 7 men. Then they were to be men, not women. They were to be men. And then they were to be selected men, not just any men. They were not to be chosen for their prominence in the community. They were not to be chosen for their popularity. No, verse 3 tells us what qualifications these men were to have. They were to be men full of honest report. What does that mean? Honest report. Men of good reputation. Free from scandal. Men of integrity. Faithful men. Men who could be trusted. Then we're told they were to be men full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, men who display a heavenly wisdom. Men who fear God. Men of wisdom. These were the kind of men that they were to seek out from among the congregation. And when you put all these attributes together, you have men full of the Holy Ghost. And that's what they're saying here. Get these men together, pick them with these attributes, and they'll be men filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is God's pattern for deacons in the church today. And we must seek to conform to all these requirements. So the sixth thing and our last thing which we want to see this evening from this passage is, when God's servants act wisely and under his direction, his work prospers more and more. When God's servants act wisely and under his direction, his work prospers more and more. I want you to notice something here that quite often goes unnoticed. Something about these seven men. You see, they were all Greek-speaking Jews. In other words, they were chosen from the party who had made the complaint. That's interesting, isn't it? They were all chosen from the party who made the complaint. Remember, the party had made the complaint about their widows being neglected. Here we see God's grace. The grace of God in action in the hearts and through the lives of God's people. In choosing these seven men in this way, first of all, none of God's principles were violated or broken. And what was the result of choosing these seven men rather than the Jews from Jerusalem themselves? Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Is it possible to please a whole multitude today? Very rarely. Very rarely. Maybe nigh impossible today. But here, the whole multitude were pleased. The apostles were happy. The people were happy. And God was honored in all that was done. And when God is honored, what do you think happens? That's right. Multiplication. Multiplication. Verse 7. The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What a great verse of scripture this is. If you've had a bad day at work, or if you're feeling down, or if you're feeling sad in any way, then read this verse once again. And the word of God increased. Satan was defeated. He was defeated. He wanted to see them fighting Christian against Christian. The murmuring, it could have opened dreadful doors. But no, Satan was defeated. The apostles and the Senate, people around them, handled the situation well. And they chose seven men out of the group that had made the complaint. Seven men. If they screwed up, it was their own widows that was going to be in the same problem that they had before. So they knew that they didn't need to screw up. It was well handled, wasn't it? And the result was that the church continued to multiply. wise men who did what God asked them to do, triumphed over the devil. They triumphed over the devil. And the result was the church continued to grow. What a marvelous thing that is. What do we do here in Lockbrickton? Do we murmur? Are we stunting the growth of the church? Murmuring's not good in any church. We need to be careful. But it'll always be here. It'll always be here. And I hope it is always here. Because if not, when it's always here, well then we'll always have new converts. Remember, new converts need time. They need to learn. They need to grow in grace. And as they get older, and as they grow, hopefully the murmuring will be less and less and less. We need to be careful when we murmur. And if we're experienced Christians, well then, we need to set the example to our younger brethren. And that is our task here in Lockbrickton. To set the example. And yes, when the murmuring begins, then we need to teach them. We don't need to discipline them. We simply need adjustment, teaching. And in that way, there's no fallouts. And God is honoured. And multiplication continues. May God bless his word to all of our hearts this evening.